Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Life Laughter Happiness. Today, our guest is going to be Tara Reid, Playboy personality and producer and webmistress of TaraReid.com. Hopefully, she'll call in soon, and also my guest host is going to be DT, who has been on the show a couple of times. So I hope that they'll call in. You know, we're anxiously waiting for that. I always get nervous right before they call in because I always worry that everything's going to go okay. And when they call in, I'll just connect them on. I've tried to do as many different shows on as many different guests as I can, you know, interviewing a variety of people, or interviewing on a variety of subjects, you know. So, let's see here. Looks like where to call in. Just wasn't called in yet. But I hope that she'll call in soon. Let's see if it was. I'll try to see if I can connect to DT or whatever, all right?
Go ahead and connect me.
All right, we're connected. You there, DT?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing good. Our other guest, Tara Reid, hasn't called in yet, but hopefully she'll call in soon. See, I'm wondering when she's going to call in. I didn't have a way to contact her, but she does have the email. She knows about the show, so. Did you ever watch her show?
No, I haven't.
I always thought that you were kind of similar to her in a lot of ways. I always thought, because you were both UCLA graduates, right?
Right.
Yeah. You were both UCLA.
What other ways do you think we're similar?
You're both UCLA graduates. I think that, you know, the impression I get is that you're both kind of men's advocates in a certain way. I mean, she sort of lets men feel a little more liberated in a way, and I think in a way you sort of do the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, the let's see here. I'm going to try emailing her and seeing if she's having problems calling in. Should I email her?
Yes.
Hmm. Wait 1 second. Because we never, let's see here. I always get nervous the first couple of minutes of the show, worrying about whether or not the guest is going to call in.
Yeah, I know. It's always hard.
I mean, you know, or if
I know some hosts. Just let them call in like 10 minutes early. That way you take that fear out of the way.
Right. That's right. I always love it when you come on. You had wonderful additions to the show.
Thank you.
You know, see, the computer's sort of lagging, it seems.
I'm sure it's nerve-wracking to juggle all this the first few minutes.
Okay, I've got a call. So.
Oh, good. Is that her?
No, it wasn't. No, it was weird. The person hung up. Stopped. Huh. Let me see. Let's see here. Okay, let me try again. Let me try.
Okay.
She just emailed. She just...
Oh, good.
So... Okay. Okay. She said she just called now, and then that was her, so.
Okay. Are you calling from the Blog Talk phone number or from your cell phone?
I think it must be the cell phone. If she's listening, just recall in. Just recall in, and we'll connect her, okay?
You want me to hang up and call in?
No, stay on.
No, are you calling me from your cell phone or for the Blog Talk number?
I'm calling you from the cell phone, but I'm trying to see if I can get her number on the switchboard. Okay. Here. Come on. All right. Okay, here she is. I'm trying to connect her on the air. You there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Hi. I've been listening to you on my phone.
Cool.
Well, I wanted to introduce the two. This is Kara Reed. This is DT. DT, this is Kara Reed.
Hi, Kara.
Hi, DT.
Nice
to meet you. You're both very similar. That's why I wanted to have you on the show. Because, I mean, you were both went to UCLA. Did you know that?
Yes, you told me. I was a yes, Final Four. We also, I hear, we're gonna get a whole bunch of great additions to the football team this year, which will be good.
Yay!
Good coaches, good defensive coordinator, something to that effect.
Uh huh.
But yeah, I was a theater, film, and television major there back in the day. I graduated in '93. I really liked being there. There was something very, very great about being in California. I was watching actually a UCLA football game with my dad in Idaho in an ice storm, and I said, I need to get out of here. When I go to college, I'm going there. I didn't really know where there was, but there was a lot of shiny, happy people and sunshine, and I was like, that's where I'm going.
That's cute.
And the Bruins outfit colors were cuter. I liked the blue, so that's how I figured out how to go to UCLA. That and Princeton wouldn't let me in.
Let me ask you something. You're the host of Playboy Radio. Is that it?
I sometimes guest host on Playboy Radio. I host a Playboy TV show called Sexcetera. I've hosted it for 8 years. We just finished our last season. I produced the last two seasons of the show, and now I've moved on to produce two other shows for Playboy TV. One of them is Naked Happy Girls, where we have photographer Andrew Einhorn shoot beautiful women who aren't models, who are, you know, ordinary, average, everyday, you know, beautiful women of all shapes, sizes, colors, different ages, for his coffee table book, Naked Happy Girls. And what we do is we profile each girl and find out who they are and what makes them tick and why a beautiful, smart woman agrees to pose nude and how is it empowering for her? What does she get out of it? And why is it fun to be naked and happy?
What actually got you started in doing this? Why did you start doing this?
Why did I start doing Playboy shows?
Yes.
Well, maybe because I'm a naked happy girl. I've always been very open with sexuality, and I also felt very much a need to kind of rebel against some, you know, backward ways of society. And I always felt kind of the calling to demystify perversions, say that it's okay to like sex, want sex, whether you're a man or a woman, to whatever preferences you have as well are okay, and to educate people, you know, kids in school. I was not allowed to take sex education in school. I had to find out everything for myself. It was banned in the, you know, county that I was in because of, you know, religious reasons and all these things. So to really just be a proponent of safe, consensual sex between adults and to be a happy face on that.
Do you have anything to add, E.T.?
Would you say that you did that based on being like a rebel because maybe the area that you grew up in or the household that you grew up in was a little repressive or what have you?
Yeah, I think the rebelliousness nature started me, and then once I was in it, it was more about how can I raise the consciousness level of where I am. You know, if you know, whether I choose to be a nurse, whether I choose to be a teacher, whether I choose to work in the sex industry, whether I choose to, you know, be a dog trainer or, you know, wherever I was going to be, I wanted to be able to have something interesting to say about it, to have a point of view and to then make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the rebelliousness, you know, as a teenager gave me a kick in the pants to kind of be able to have the kind of personality that could go do something like pose for Playboy and do Cinemax movies, you know, those sort of things.
I mean, that is a huge leap for a lot of young women. So I was just wondering how you got from A to B. So did you have someone bring you up or someone that you trusted or a mentor or something like that that helped you along the way? Or
well, I looked up to different actresses who are in the industry, but to tell you, I was at UCLA. I answered an ad for the LA Weekly that they wanted actresses for a Playboy movie called Maui Heat, and it was shooting for 2 weeks in Maui. And I'd never gotten any real work except, you know, a walk-on a television show or something. So it was my first movie. I'd already graduated from college. I just graduated from college. I went on the interview, and I'm sitting here with all these gorgeous women, let me tell you. You know, they're like, they just walked out of, you know, they don't airbrush these women in real life, but they still look all flawless and perfect. And there's a Barbie on one side and, you know, another Barbie on the other side. And then there's me, little, you know, Skipper in the middle. And I was kind of like, what am I doing here? You know, why do they keep calling me back? Why am I on a final callback for the movie with these people? I figured, oh, I have an acting ability or something that's keeping me in there. And I went in and they said, well, this is about swimsuit models, and we really don't have a part for you because you're not really the type. You're a little... I said, yeah, okay, fine. Well, why did you waste my time? No, we want to keep you. We're writing a part in for you. You're going to be the makeup artist for the swimsuit models. And I thought, well, there must be a reason why I'm here. They're finding value in the reason that I'm here. They liked my energy. They thought I could bring something to it. And I kind of liked representing kind of a real woman within all this, you know, Playboy, you know, perfect plastic sort of environment. I was like, well, it just seems like the right thing to do. And I met people on that movie, actresses that I then looked up to and producers and directors that treated with me with respect and respected me for what I could bring to them. And I started getting fan mail, you know, as soon as the movie started airing while I was making other movies. So it just really felt like I was touching people, you know. So it was, I never necessarily thought that I would, I didn't know these movies existed because I knew there was pornography and hardcore pornography, and I knew that there was regular movies, but I didn't know there was like this in-between sort of thing that I would feel comfortable with that was acting and having simulated sexual, you know, encounters but not real ones, that would be something that I felt totally comfortable with. And, you know, so that's how I ended up doing it. The editor on that movie showed my footage to Zalman King, and then Zalman King had me do some Red Shoe Diaries, and then Playboy contracted me to do a bunch of movies, and here I am talking to you all about it.
That's a great beginning. So it was just sort of a fluke that you answered that Maui ad, and you were, it was just a call to, like, perhaps go to Maui or go
yeah.
to something that you haven't been to. And so when you first found out mm-hmm. that it was connected to Playboy or you know, nudity or simulating sexual
mm-hmm.
acts, you didn't have any hesitation mm-hmm. with that?
Well, I probably maybe should have more because it really got me into that niche. But who knows if I would have had any other sort of acting career. This was the niche that let me in. This was the niche that I embraced. I had no problem being nude. I'd just gotten back from my first trip to Europe, and my favorite thing about it was the nude beaches. I'd never seen anything like that before. Like, it
yeah.
was okay to be naked. Nobody cared. No one was looking. Nobody, you know, batted an eye to throw your clothes off and run in the ocean. And it's just a hippie child in me that was like, oh, yeah, sure, that's not a problem with me for me at all.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely the, okay, this is going to be out there for the world to see. But it was something that I figured it's my life and I can live it and I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm not hurting anybody. And if anything, I'm inspiring people to have yummier, nastier, more satisfying sex possibly too by watching these movies or watching them as a couple. They were couple kind of oriented story pieces. So it always felt good to me. I stopped doing it
awesome.
When I...
Yeah. How has your family reacted to all of this?
You know, that's a good question. My family, I still have a very religious family, but my mother was also very free-thinking. She found the religion that she chose her own. You know, my brother does something completely different. I have one brother who, like, works for, you know, the government. I have another brother who... just got his master's degree. I have another sister who's a stay-at-home mom and babies, and I have another sister who is a devout religious person as well. And my mother just said, well, God gave me a beautiful daughter, and she's enjoying her life, and God bless her, and as long as she's happy, I'm happy.
What about your father?
My father was never around, but he does know, and I did show him and tell him so he wouldn't be surprised, and he knows about it, and he's proud of me for my accomplishments, but he doesn't sit down and watch them, as far as I know. He doesn't need to look at them, you know. So I've been very lucky that people have accepted me. And, you know, it's one thing if you're a crack whore, and, you know what I mean, and it's another thing if you are a respected actress in whatever field you choose. So but there's different levels of sexually shocking, I think.
You're very lucky to have a supporting mom, you know, supporting you of those endeavors because, like I say, for a lot of women, that's certainly not the case. So, you know,
yeah.
it's a big leap to go from, oh, I'm just out of high school or college or whatever to,
mm-hmm.
you know, going to be a Playboy in you know, be in a Playboy movie and so forth. And the reason why I'm asking you these questions is because I don't know if Johnny filled you in on what I do, but I'm a men's advocate and
yeah.
I have a column on MySpace called MySpace / Dating Tips for Men where men write.
Yes, I went and checked it out. You have
women.
Great stuff to say.
Thank you. Thank you. So anyway, from time to time I do get many letters to this regard saying, you know, my wife won't have sex with me and how do I get her turned on and, you know, all these
mm-hmm.
sorts of questions. So I think in general women are not really that they're not sexual beings to the degree that men are. So I'm always looking
mm-hmm.
for ways to ignite women to get them to be more sexual. And, you know, I give my tips to the men on how to make that happen. So,
mm-hmm.
I think you were just, like, really super lucky that you just, you know, you were comfortable with your body. Like you said, you went to Europe and the nude beaches, and your mom was supportive. But, you know, a lot of people don't have those avenues. And, you know, through strict upbringing or religious background or social mores or what have you, we live in a very strange country in that every single second of the day through the media, sex is, you know, shoved down our throat, literally and figuratively. but mm-hmm. you know, it's all this big giant taboo. So it's not as open as it is in Europe. I agree with you. For those of us who have gone to Europe, you know, mm-hmm. they're just much more relaxed about sex. It's not so taboo and so like foreign and off limits. And
right.
Anyway, I'm always looking for ways that will take the average American woman, you know, whether she's the girlfriend or the wife or whatever, and how to kick mm-hmm. up her sexuality, because it's a huge issue. And men have this big need, and I think that's, you know, one big reason why they cheat is because they're just not getting it at home. You know, I mean,
I agree.
A while, they do it until they get married. They do it until the first kid pops out. The minute the kid pops out, the spigot's closed. They're done. They're just totally
well,
done.
I think he's left
mm-hmm. holding the bag, and it's like, what's he supposed to do? Go the rest of his life without sex now? It's so
right.
unfair.
And
you know,
I think a lot
like,
of that is kind of the attitude that women have, because sex is bad. It's like sex is work. Sex is something I have to do. Sex is not about
chore.
Me feeling good or expressing myself. Yeah, it's a chore. But
right.
so I always... You know, and I'm not a psychologist, and you know, I don't know how to get through these blocks of women, because some people can just get rid of them, and I went to extremes to do it. I rebelled in a big way.
You're saying you once had those blocks.
So I would, because I was the kind of person that I wish I had to look up to. I didn't know I existed. You know what I mean? I wanted to be part of the revolution that says it's okay to like sex. It's okay to feel good. It's okay to, you know, be, you know, a little dirty or talk nasty or ask for what you want or all these things that are like so taboo, and to kind of be that role model that I didn't have growing up. And I think we may need, you know, and we have more opportunities now through the internet, through cable television, through all sorts of things that we need to keep those channels open, and we need to make sure that our rights aren't taken away as well to be able to express ourselves.
Yes, I think that exposure definitely helped. It has absolutely helped the 20-something generation. I mean, girls who are 18 to 30, that
mm-hmm.
group is the exception to the age-old rule that women don't like sex. I mean, because they were so exposed to sex in the media,
right.
that age group, I mean, excuse my French, but they F just like guys. I mean, they,
right.
you know, they're not interested in relationships or commitments or whatever, a one-night hookup here, one-night hookup there. They're totally down for all of that stuff. So they are the exception to the rule. So I'm trying to see what I can do to ignite the fire under for the women who are above 30 that don't have this mentality,
mm-hmm.
that perhaps, you know, are still laden with the taboos and, oh, it's a duty or a
mm-hmm.
chore or what have you, and they're just not turned on by sex. Now, granted, not all of it is their fault. Not all men as we know, are attentive in bed or patient in bed, and a lot of that selfishness will translate into why she would rather watch her favorite TV show than do you. So, you know, it does go both ways.
Yeah, like one thing, sorry to interrupt, but one thing that DT put on a website was, and I think I bought this up like the other day, it's called The Kiss That's Not Fair. And the reason I bring that up is that I love this particular spot on a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you kiss a woman on the back of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think well, you described it in a certain way, right, DT, or something?
Yeah,
you
I guess you call it like erotica style of writing, where I describe
mm-hmm.
that happens to be one of my favorite kisses, is the kiss on the back of the neck, and I had like this
yeah.
whole like fantasy sex scenario revolving, you know, here I am minding my own business, washing
mm-hmm.
the dishes, and up comes my guy, and the whole thing
mm-hmm.
starts with a kiss on the
How
back
fun.
Of the neck. Of course, it escalates from there. It's, you know, it's not X-rated or what have you, but it's as close
right.
to X, you know, pushing the limit as you can. So,
yeah.
And I think articles like that do
mm-hmm.
ignite women, because I think women in general are not physical or is not as physical as men are. They respond more to the mental aspect or the imagination,
mm-hmm.
like if you ignite her imagination. So somehow if you get a woman to ignite her imagination and fantasize and what if and I wonder
mm-hmm.
what it would be
mm-hmm.
like if, you know, X, Y, Z and all this kind of stuff, that's
mm-hmm.
sort of what trips the woman up, I think, more than just, oh, I'm just going to touch you now and you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to get hot and bothered in 2 seconds. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And I really feel because men sometimes don't give us the opportunity, they don't stimulate our desires. They don't have so much foreplay. They're good to go because they're visual. They see you, you're naked, let's go, you know, instead
right.
of, so I find if I, and I sometimes don't feel like having sex. And it's kind of like sometimes I don't feel like smiling, but you know what I do? I do it anyway because I can always kind of find something to get me going. Like if I'm sad during the day and I'm going around frowning or I'm complaining or whatever, sometimes I just fake it. And all of a sudden I feel happy because I'm smiling and then someone smiles back at me and then there's sort of a connection and the energy changes. The same way in sex, if I'm kind of dowdy, I'm not feeling very good, I'm feeling bloated, I'm feeling like if somebody touches me, I bite them, you know, like there's some days. What I need to do then for myself is to, if I can, take a time out, take some deep breaths, do something sexy for myself, like take a bath, put some pretty smelling cream on, you know, slowing things down for myself so when I know that he's coming home or I know he's going to expect it, I'm ready. And then, you know what, it's not a fight anymore. I'm ready. I've been, like, preparing. I'm actually, you know, a little turned on because I've been touching myself and I smell good and I, you know, and I put something on that makes me feel sexy. So I'm ready. Also, I find just it's a mindset. That of it's starting with the whole idea of, you know, I love and approve of myself and sex is okay. You know, if anyone's a little hung up or they think that they have some baggage that they're carrying around from some sort of upbringing where sex is dirty, sex is bad, or, you know, you're not supposed to like sex because you're a woman.
Right.
Write down 100 times. You know, sex is a wonderful thing. I can have a wonderful sex life on my own terms. I love and approve of myself. I am a sexy woman, and it's okay. And I know that's a little bit kind of like, oh, that's okay. But we need all that to counteract all that we were fed when we were growing up, if that's the case, or what somebody else made us feel. We have to counteract that. Look in the mirror and say we're sexy and it's okay. And it's okay to ask for this and this and this in bed, you know?
Right. I think those affirmations are very important because it's like years and years or if not decades of brainwashing in the other direction. So the more that we can give to ourselves and affirm, you know, to ourselves, the better. And in fact, the more the guy does it also, I think it's the better too. I mean, not in a pervy way or a gropey way or what have you, but, you know, I know it's always a turn on for me when a guy makes mention that he likes a certain body part and he lets that be known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, then you like forget about, oh, you know, I'm 2 pounds up today or my cellulite shows or, you know, whatever. You forget about
Who cares?
The guy is complimenting you like, wow, I really like, you know, the back of your leg right there, or I really like the curve of your hip, you know, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It just snaps you, you know, back into the moment, which is, you know, what you need to do and not go into the, revert back to your old habits.
I have a question for the both of you. Do you feel that women have a natural resistance to unconditional pleasure?
Do women have, well, I believe that some people just don't think they're worthy of love. And I don't think that has anything to do with, it's not necessarily just about sex or just about pleasure. It's about just not feeling worthy as a person. They were put down or they were told they were stupid or they were told they were ugly or, you know, all that stuff sticks with us. So I think it maybe that might, if somebody has an aversion to unconditional love or pleasure, that it's, they don't deserve it, which is,
I absolutely agree. I think it's a huge problem with women in particular because we are often, in subtle ways, as we are grown up from age 5 to age 18, we are told that we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not smart enough, mm-hmm. we're not this, that. So there's a lot of baggage that are put onto women that men just can't relate to, because
Love
the opposite effect is given to men. With men, studies have shown that teachers call on men, on the young men in the classroom, way more than the girls do. And even if the guy doesn't like know the answer, they're almost like pressed to know the answer. So there's all kinds of like positive accolades given to men, and lots of attaboys and whatever to the men, that to make them feel the best they can be. And those sorts of parallels really don't happen for women, you know, in anywhere near those degrees. They say that the only time that that happens is if they go to an all-girl school. So there's a lot of what Tara is saying is going on, that I think a lot of women don't feel good about themselves. So, you know, I think the best way, and I advise my guys on my site for any of them who are dads, that I find the number one best way to bump up the girl's self-esteem is the dad's presence. I think the dad, from the ages that the girl is between the ages of 12 and 16, are so crucial. Those are the ages that she's going through puberty. Her body is changing. Her mind is changing. Her hormones are changing. During those ages, it's so critical to have the dad present in her life. And if she can have a good relationship with the dad, there's a very good chance that she'll have like a, you know, normal outcome in the future. But if that's not happening, it's really hard. It's really hard to buck all that negativity that she's been bombarded with.
Yeah. And men, I think women read the self-help books and how to find my inner sex pod and all those things a lot more than men. So I always suggest to men to pick up some of those women's books every once in a while, because to know what we're going through, or to read a column like yours, or go to your MySpace, so to understand how to make women feel sexy, instead of, oh, she doesn't feel sexy, or she doesn't like sex, it's like, well, why not, and how can we maybe help her? So whenever anybody has called in the radio show or asked me personally, I say, go pick up one of the, you know, Greg Berent's book, or like a column like yours, go read what women are struggling with to find out, because it can be simple things, like you said, complimenting a body part that could mean all the difference in the world, making her feel good about herself, because that's what she's struggling with.
You know, like one time, I was going to tell a story, there was a guy, I was in the lunchroom at the college, and It was right before I was about ready to graduate, so I never really got to know the girl. But she was talking to her friend, and under normal social circumstances, you don't interrupt a conversation, but she was talking to her girlfriend, and basically she was crying, visibly crying. And she was saying, it's just, I feel like God didn't look at me, I feel like I'm not worth fighting for, you know, I feel like, you know, tear, cry. And I interrupted her, and I said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you okay? I mean, you look great. You look wonderful. And she immediately turned bright red, and she goes, thanks, that's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you helped save somebody from darkness that evening.
Hey.
That's great. I think women need more of that, because they are fragile that way. You know, I think the more boost that they get, I think it can only help if they've got, you know, their boyfriend or their man or whatever complimenting them every now and again. I think it'll work wonders.
Especially when it comes from a true place. It's one thing to go, okay, I'm going to compliment my wife so she feels sexy, so we have better sex. Okay, so you look pretty, honey, tonight. You look great. Let's go. You know, it's got to come from something real, because a woman will know when you're full of BS too. So,
that's
you know,
very true. That'd be
so
selfless.
Yes, but it's not about so you can get her into bed necessarily. It's about really seeing her true beauty, so it's reflected back to her.
Absolutely.
So do people call into the show? What happens on this show?
They do call in. They do call in. We have call in sometimes. You were given the basically same guest number as the guests who call in.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone were to call in, it would appear in the switchboard, and then I would connect them.
I've never even known about this whole, you know, Blogspot radio, this whole thing until you contacted me to be on the show. And I was looking around. I was listening to your show. I went on some other links. There's what a wonderful forum to be able to freely on the internet communicate ideas and to find other people and to talk about anything you want. It's great.
Yeah. It is great. It's sort of like the audio version of the internet. You know, it's just whatever you want to talk about. There are people that talk about sports only or politics only or relationships or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever the different topics are. I think it's a great forum.
When I made the show, I interviewed DT for the first time. I don't know if you've ever met Howard Stern. You ever met him?
Yes, I was on his show. I've been spanked by Howard Stern.
Well, you think of Howard Stern, but when I met DT on the air and I talked to her on the air, I immediately felt like I knew exactly how Howard Stern felt when he met Robin. Because DT has been sort of like, whenever I have her on the show, she's great. I mean, she's wonderful. I think that that DT should be on your show, Kira.
Mm-hmm.
She's really great.
DT, do you ever go on Playboy Radio?
No, I would love to.
You should be on Playboy Radio. A great show for you would be Tiffany Granoff's Afternoon Advice. I can give you some contact information of who to talk to there.
If you'd like to email
me, I can put you in touch with some people because you'd be a great guest for them. It's a relationship kind of show, and Tiffany's a wonderful host for her sometimes,
awesome.
And she's just fabulous. Yeah,
and
definitely
been, like you know, like been the biggest help with me with my show. I mean, whenever I have romantic advice, I go to DT. And,
She seems to know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a little bit in the media
mm-hmm.
also, and it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when I get done with a TV show or whatever, it's just
uh-huh.
so nice. I mean, I wish I had like a, you know, a coach on the side saying, well, how did I do and what could I change? And, you know, I'm always thinking about how could I make this better and was this part effective and was it, you know, so it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do that with Johnny, like after the air, I do like a, you know, Monday morning wrap-up thing. And,
that's great.
It's kind of
that's
nice.
Wonderful.
I mean, I wish I had that for somebody, like, you know, on my show. But, you know, it's nice. I figure, you know, I'm a giving person, and it may not come back in directly in a certain way, but you get it, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the back door from another way. So I always feel it's nice to extend a helping hand.
Yes, and it's nice to have a sounding board. And it's always nice to exercise your muscle, too, of just being in different platforms and talking on in different genres and being able to speak to interesting people in a diverse setup here. So I really enjoy talking to you and meeting you, DT, and I hope that your show, Jonathan, continues to grow and get good people on.
Okay. And I hope that you there?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah, I hope that the two of you stay in touch.
Yeah. We should for sure. And I also wanted to mention for anybody who comes and listens to the show that I have a new series on Playboy TV that is really inspiring to couples. It's a couple-based show. It's called 69 Sexy Things to Do Before You Die. And we have three couples who are traveling all around the world, going to different exotic resorts, different adventures, and then some things that you can do right in your own home. So it's all about finding fun things to do with your significant other lover. And I hope that it is something that makes everybody feel sexy and want to go do some fun things with their husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend.
That's great. Is it okay with you if I give DT your email?
Yes, that's totally fine.
Okay, good.
All right.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I'm sorry about the technical problems in the beginning.
No problem, not at all. It was great speaking to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Much luck in your show. I hope everything goes well, and contact me if I can do anything for you.
Yeah, I think we have hopefully we're having a season two. I have a hiatus here of a couple of weeks while we're waiting, but one of the things we do is we bring in relationship experts in each show, or somebody who's written the book, or somebody who is, like, we just did a, you know, especially on the local stories, how to please a naked woman, how to have the ultimate bubble bath, how to have a night of Asian-inspired erotica, how to have 101 nights of great sex sort of thing. So we have, I would love to have you on the new show, 16 Sexy Things to Do Before You Die, as one of our experts.
I would absolutely love that. I'd die and go to heaven. I'd absolutely love that. And I have a book that I'm actually writing.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the final edit stage of my book. But, you know, if you
uh-huh.
want to have me on before or after that, I would certainly love to. Maybe we can do
great.
One, you know, now, and then after the book comes out, maybe at a later date we can have one also. So,
well,
yes,
when is
we'll
the book coming out?
Touch. I'm in final editing now, and I'm hoping within the next couple of months. So,
right, because it takes that much time to edit our shows. So if we start shooting again in June, your show probably wouldn't air till the fall. So it would be
uh-huh.
out.
Okay.
Great. But check out, go to playboytv.com. And then
uh-huh.
it'll say shows, and it'll go to 69 Sexy Things to Do Before You Die and check it out. And you'll see all the what we do is we have a how-to page with all the people that we profile or who's an expert or the places that we go. They get a link off the Playboy TV site so people can watch the show and then go to the site and figure out how to buy the book, go to the website, go to the resort, any of the things. So it's a really good interactive how to keep your sex life lively show.
That's awesome. And are you in front of the camera or behind the scenes producing it, or what
I'm the supervising producer. I'm the supervising producer of this this series, which means I'm in the office a lot, but I am luckily hands-on and picking the stories. I also write and produce segment produce a few on my own. I hand-picked some this year. I did a tantric retreat in Maui. I did the Aurora Borealis in Alaska, and I did a yoga retreat to a clothing optional place in Tulum, Mexico, because those are things I wanted to do. So I've been in the office a lot. And then, yeah, and I also worked with the Karma Sutra Company to do the ultimate bubble bath, which was really beautiful.
Are you here in LA
that everyone
also?
Can do? Yes, I am here in L.A.
Oh, so am I. So I'm on the west side in L.A. That's awesome.
Great. Well, it's lovely
Super.
Speaking to you both, and I hope people enjoyed the show.
They did. I'm sure they did.
All right.
For having you both
Bye-bye.
On.
Bye-bye. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you soon.